The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 11. Matthew, chapter number 11. Now, I don't want to alarm you, okay. But I failed to make this announcement last year before winter came, so I'm going to talk about snow just before we get started here. All right, so I don't want to alarm you, but just a reminder as we enter into the winter, and I know it's a long ways off, amen, let's hope that's a long ways off yet. But once the snow starts on the road, remember that in the winter we try to get as many cars off the road as we can into the parking lot. And sometimes that means we kind of park like a city parking lot. And you might get blocked in. Got to be patient. So I thought I'd make my first announcement about that because I did hear that it might snow next weekend, actually. But that's the truth. But just the rain and snow. Nothing serious. I don't want to alarm you. Anyhow, it's coming. It's coming. All right. Now that I've alarmed you, Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew chapter number 20, or Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd bless the preaching of the word this morning. Again, speak to our hearts, draw each of us closer to you. And truly, Lord, if there be one here that has never received Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, again, that you'd bring that conviction to their heart, the reality of their lost estate and their need of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been preaching to you on the topic of highways and hedges and kind of around the campaign that we've been doing on Saturday mornings. And yesterday was, I believe, the third Saturday that we went out. And this is the third Sunday where we have visitors as a direct result of that. And so, again, I encourage you, if you can come out next or this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock. We leave by 9:30. We're back by 10:30, quarter to 11. And just an opportunity to invite someone out to church or give out a gospel track. And but 3 weeks in a row, three weeks we've had young people come and others come as well. So again, encourage you with regards to that. But I was thinking about what to preach this week, and last week I preached on the topic of highways and the need to go out and all the encounters that Jesus had as he was out in the byways and highways. And I actually got the seed thought for this message this morning from my devotions this week. I read through Oswald Chambers, "My Utmost for His Highest," for my devotional. And so I was reading, I forgot what day it was earlier in the week, but he made this comment, and I put it on your, I typed it here on your handout so you could see it. It was part of the devotional for that particular day. And he said this. He said, "If you want to know how real you are," meaning as a believer, as a Christian, "test yourselves by these words: come unto me." In every degree, he said, in which you are not real, you will dispute rather than come. You will quibble rather than come. You will go through sorrow rather than come. You will do anything rather than come. Now, he was talking to believers here. He wasn't necessarily talking to lost people, although sometimes this could also be equated with lost people, but he was really talking to believers. And how often you and I, we're invited to come. We're invited to present our needs to the Lord. We're invited to present our burdens to the Lord, but we seem to often just not come when we've been invited. And he promises in the text in which we read that we would find rest for our souls. So I want you to think about that, and I want to kind of tie it into the campaign, because you see, there are people all throughout our community that their souls are like a troubled sea, and they need Jesus. And they're lost and on their way to a Christless eternity. But you can be saved and have a troubled soul as well. Your life can be tossed to and fro with things that are going on. So the application for the message this morning could be either or, for a lost person or a saved person. Many Bible scholars or Bible writers think that Jesus might have been referring to Jeremiah 6:16, which I put on your handout as well. When Jeremiah said this, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein." And then Jeremiah said this, "And ye shall find rest for your souls." But just like today, they said the same thing in Jeremiah's day. There's really nothing new under the sun. But they said, "We will not walk therein." And so they robbed themselves of a rest. And you and I, we can all rob ourselves of a rest. We can get so caught up in things that we rob ourselves of really the peace that passeth all understanding. The rest for our souls. Now, real quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I want to get to the back of the handout. That's really the message. But in the Bible, there's really basically two kinds of rests. There's the rest of our conscience. Our conscience that if we have never received Christ as our Savior and we're under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, it's that rest of, that we have from the guilt of our sin, from the burden of our sin, from the weight of our sin. And if you can remember back to that day that you accepted Christ as your Savior and the reality you that the Holy Spirit enlightened you and that realized, helped you to realize that you are a lost sinner. And that the reason that there was the burden or the guilt in your conscience of sin is because you came to understand that you were born into this world as a sinner, condemned, unclean, a child of wrath, not a child of God, a child of this world, not a child of God. And then as you came to that day where you gave Christ, became a Christian and gave and accepted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says then that burden was lifted. And I can't speak for you, but I know the day that I received Christ as my Savior, that burden was lifted. There was a rest of conscience. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 of Jesus, "And he made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself." And that's what happened that day. I went from being the enemy of Christ, or being at enmity with Christ, to now being his friend. There was a harmony that was brought back together. And so that's the rest of conscience. But then there's the rest of circumstances. And you and I as believers, we go through things in life and we can find ourselves feeling troubled, find ourselves feeling really in a situation where we don't have that rest or we don't have that peace that Jesus speaks about, or that the Scriptures speak about. Or Isaiah, I was reminded of what Isaiah said, "Thou will have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And so we go through these circumstances. And the Bible speaks about the peace and what we can do about it. That's the rest of circumstance. For instance, in Psalms chapter number 55 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He will sustain you." That's that peace that we can have. Or in Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse 3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Or I was reminded there what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. You remember when he said, consider the lilies of the field, or consider the fowls of the air, and how God takes care of them. I was reminded of that this week. If you've ever been to my house, if you look at my house, up on the right-hand side of my property, there's this pine grove. I think there's kind of a combination of hemlocks and I think spruce trees up through there. So I remember when I moved to that house, I couldn't figure out all this noise, and this is years ago, all this noise that was coming from that pine grove. Boom, 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 about this time of year. So I just couldn't figure it out. What is that noise? And now, of course, years later, I know. I was listening to it. I was sitting on my porch this week, and I could hear it again. And so if you were to walk, my wife and I actually walked through that little pine grove this week. If you were to walk through that pine grove right now, the bed of the pine grove is filled with pine cones. That's because the squirrels are working fast and furious. Now, not to alarm you, because they realize the snow is coming too. Listen, God takes care of the birds, God takes care of the squirrels, God takes care of all of nature around us. And so we're reminded he takes care of, and he says, how much, I don't know about you, but I'm worth far more than a squirrel. Because I was made in the image of God. The squirrels weren't made in the image of God. So the point of that is, listen, we go through all kinds of circumstances in life, and yet God promises, listen, I'll take care of you. Now, go over the back of your handout. That was introduction. This is the gist of the message. There are three commands in this portion of Scripture that the Lord gives us. The first command is a spiritual invitation. The command is to come. Come unto, what's that next word? Look at it in your Bibles. Come unto who? Good and loud. Come unto? Boy, that is weak this morning, all right? Come unto? Okay, that's almost good. Now let's try it once more time. Come unto
me.
Jesus. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me. That's the command. That's what Oswald Chambers was trying to get across. He said, we don't come to him. We get all wrapped up in things. Some problem arises. And by the way, here's the thing. When circumstances arise and you're troubled by those circumstances, and it's in whatever that circumstance might be, health issue or financial issue or family issue, whatever that issue is, we are apt to take the issue and bring it to Jesus. But here's where we fail. We're still focused on the issue. Jesus is trying to get us to understand this. Stop focusing on the issue and focus on me. You notice in the text here how many times he refers to himself. Verse 28, come unto me, he says. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn of, what is that word? Look at it, verse 29. Every time we come to the word me, you say it out loud. We're going to start from verse 28. Come unto all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then now say the word my in verse 30. For yoke is easy and my, me. He's trying to change the attention from, get our thoughts off from what we're dealing with and getting them back. It's a spiritual invitation. So I thought, well, why don't we come? As I was reading through Oswald Chambers' thing, I just sat back and, well, why is it that we don't come? Well, one of the reasons that we don't come unto the Lord is because we are spiritually impregnable. There's a hardness about us that develops. When we should come immediately, when we should come with our problems right away, whenever that hardness of our heart actually sets in. It's part of who we are. It's part of our fleshly nature. It's been in existence right from the very beginning of time, right from the fall of man. Notice in Nehemiah chapter 9, I put it on your handout for you, Nehemiah said this. He said, but they and our fathers have dealt proudly, and they hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments. Now, we're not going to turn back there, but if you were to go back to Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah preaches an entire sermon there to the Israelites. And he starts with creation. He talks about everything and how God created everything that there is. And then he goes through the history of Israel. He goes to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He talks about Moses. And then he talks about, he talks about the enslavement of the Jewish people. And then Moses delivers them. And then he goes into the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he talks about even going into the promised land. And then he speaks to them about all that took place, even when they conquered the promised land. And anyhow, all through that, you'll find there were times where they went to the Lord and times that they did not go to the Lord. Times that they went, time. And that's what he's referring to. There was a hardness. You see, historically, all down through time, you and I, even today, thousands of years after Nehemiah spoke those words, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, and those words were penned, even today, there's a hardness that sets in. And we don't go to the Lord. His invitation is, come unto me. And we even know that. But we get all wrapped up and we get all consumed with everything that's going on until sometimes, hopefully, finally, we get to the end of ourselves and we say, you know, I need to go to the Lord about this. So we become spiritually impregnable. It's our flesh. There is in who we are, there is an unwillingness, there is an opposition that's there that we have to battle against into coming to the Lord. It's our old nature within us, fighting against us, boys. And yet the invitation is there. It's a wonderful invitation to come. To come. To come. Oh, I was reminded of this illustration. You husbands will probably, and you wives will appreciate this. You ever been traveling with, you know, your wife sitting on the driver's seat and you're driving and you kind of get lost? Now, it's not so hard to get lost today because these new phones, you know, I still use a flip phone. So I can't talk to my phone and say, phone, tell me how to get from point A to point B. So this illustration is probably at some point it's going to become history. You're not even be able to use it any longer. But the old days, you know, you use a map. See, I still like to use a map. You know, I want to know where I'm going. I don't want somebody to tell me where I'm going. I want to know where I'm going. Kids are all rolling their eyes at me right now, I can tell. Anyhow, you've been driving down the road, and all of a sudden you're kind of made a wrong turn somewhere, and you're trying to find where. And so how many times, fellas, has your wife said, why don't you just pull over and ask someone? No, 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 I think I can figure this out, and 15 minutes goes by. Why don't you just pull over and ask someone? Today, now all your wife has to do, what's that? That woman on the phone there, Siri, whatever, I'm never getting one of those. Well, I shouldn't say never. But what do, husbands? We just keep driving and fine. Now, my wife says, I never get lost, is what she tells me. She just doesn't know that I won't tell her if I'm lost. But so finally, after driving around for a half hour, sometimes 40 minutes, we pull over. You know, and we finally ask someone, you know, which way to get such and such place. But that's like you and I as with the Lord. We just want to keep driving on our own, just keep doing our own thing. And yet, the Bible says, Jesus said, come unto me. Or we refuse the invitation because we're spiritually impatient. We want today, we want such, and we want everything right now. We want our food right now. You go through the drive-thru, it's not fast enough. You want to order something, you want to do it right now. You don't want to wait. Everything we want now, 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 now. We're very impatient. And yet the Bible tells us that sometimes we need to wait upon the Lord. Amen? There's something to waiting. but we're spiritually impatient. In fact, the burdens that God allows in our lives and the trials that God allows in our lives are there to cause us to come unto Him. He places them there. He allows them there for a reason. Whatever it is, it's there for a reason. So we'll come unto Him. In fact, the Lord thoroughly enjoys taking care of our needs. I think sometimes we forget that. But we're impatient. We don't want to wait on the Lord. Look on your handout, Romans chapter 5 in verses 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What? Do you really feel that way about tribulation? You feel that way about the trials and difficulties that works patience out in your life? And patience, experience, and experience hope. You know, I was flying home from Florida when we dropped the girls off from school and then visited my mom. And I'm sitting next to a Jewish man on the flight up. And we're just talking about things. And he was a little bit older than I am. And we were just talking about just growing older. And I said to him this as we're kind of just making talk and just back and forth. And I said, you know, one of the things that I enjoy about being a little bit older and growing older is there's a lot of things in life that just don't faze me like they did when I was younger. Because you've experienced them before. You know that there's something comes up in your life, you know, well, this isn't the end of the world. We can deal with this. And this past week in our house, within 2 days, our oven stopped working and our washing machine stopped working. Well, if you're the woman of the house, that's a big deal, because you got to have clean clothes and you got to be able to cook. And if you're the man of the house, you want clean clothes and you want your wife to cook. And so, you know, ladies, sometimes women, you can be a little emotional about these things, you know. But you just have to say, honey, calm down. It's not the end of the world. All right? You can go down to the brook and wash the clothes down there. It's about where my wife's patience runs out, right there. No, I didn't say that to her. So. But it's not the end of the world. But, you know, if that's what you're used to doing and you have a schedule, and in our house, because our family is starting to get a little bit smaller, but when you had 8 kids in the house and 10 of you, I mean, everything's got to run like clockwork. Boom, 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 boom. So that's still ingrained in my wife, you know. I barely get my clothes off. They're already washed and dried and back in my, that's just ingrained. So we're just impatient. But listen, tribulation works patience in our lives. Whatever we're going through, it's there to teach us. It's there to conform us into the image of Christ. But it's there, and the Lord says, listen, come unto me. Listen, if we didn't have any problems or difficulties or struggles, we wouldn't go to the Lord. But what happens is we do go through periods of time where things are going well, and we don't go to the Lord then either. It's important to be going to the Lord whether the things are going well or things are not going well. Amen? So we refuse sometimes the invitation because we're spiritually impregnable. Our hearts become hard for one reason or the other. Sometimes we're just upset. Well, why did this happen to me, God? And why did you allow this to happen? And how come I'm struggling over here? And so instead of coming unto the Lord and pleading our cause and casting our burden upon Him, we just gripe and complain at Him. So that's sometimes what I mean by I know we're supposed to casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We just take our problems and we just gripe and complain to Him instead of pleading our cause. So, remember what Oswald Chambers said. If you want to know how real you are, test yourself by these words, come unto me. In every degree, he says, that you're not real, you'll dispute with God rather than come to Him. You'll quibble rather than come. You'll go through sorrow rather than come. You'll do anything rather than just fall at the feet of Jesus. And the reality is we're all guilty of it. But the second command is not come, but in verse 29, it's to take. And that's a spiritual acquisition. Take. Take, he says. Take my yoke upon you. Take, he says. It's there. And yet we don't. He promises in verse 28 that he'll give us rest. He promises if we'll come with our labors and we're heavy laden. And listen, the life can sometimes burden us. And what might be a problem, the dryer and the washing machine, for instance, it wasn't a big deal to me. I knew we could get it fixed. But I'm not saying my wife had some big hissy fit over the thing. But listen, she's used to having a routine, and the routine is upset. You know, the old saying, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Amen? But there's an acquisition. The acquisition is take. And now, let me just kind of backtrack on that. I would have to say I get a little concerned because I was thinking, oh man, we might have to buy a brand new stove. Now it was not a matter of what we eat, but what we spend. And then that became a little bit more worrisome. So, there's a take here. There's a take. Take my yoke upon you. There's an acquisition. But in order to acquire, in order to take, you and I need to understand this, that we are all spiritually ill-equipped to handle life. We are ill-equipped to handle the struggles of life. We are ill-equipped to handle the problems of life in and of ourselves apart from Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Always remember that you lack the resources, you lack the ability, you lack the wisdom, you lack the knowledge. And when we fail to realize that, we trust in our own wisdom, our own resources, our own ability. In fact, look at some of the previous verses here in Matthew chapter number 11. Look what he says in verse 27. He says, all these things are delivered unto me of my Father. Go back to verse 25. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And if we were to go back to the previous verses, he's dealing here with faith. He's dealing here with people who saw the works of Christ and still rejected him. But he said in those verses there that he hid those things from the wise and prudent. And I always wondered about that. Well, why would God hide these things from the wise and the prudent? The answer to that is because these people were putting all of their trust in their own wisdom, in their own abilities, in their own knowledge. And when you and I do that, first of all, we fail to come and fail to accept the spiritual invitation to come, and then we fail to take what the Lord has for us. We're not equipped to handle life. Not the abundant life that Christ wants us to have. And then in order to take, we need to be mindful of the fact that we're just all spiritual instruments. Look what he says again in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Well, I think all of us know what a yoke is. And if you don't, real quickly, it's something that you'd put on. Normally they put a yoke on oxen. It's a piece of equipment. It's a piece of equipment to join two oxen together. Well, what was the purpose of that? To put those two oxen together. Why? Well, it was designed to curb the will of the oxen. It was designed to bring the oxen under control. It was designed as a means where the oxen would be in subjection to the master. So when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. But that yoke is there so that we'll be in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we'll be under His control. We'll be under His will. Because we're just spiritual instruments. Paul said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." Well, that's the purpose of the yoke. You know, some reading I did with regards to yokes and oxen, often they would take a seasoned oxen that had been under the subjection of a yoke, and when they were training new oxen, they would take an oxen that had not been under the subjection of a yoke and put that oxen, yoke them together with an oxen that was more seasoned. So that the seasoned oxen yoked with the if you will, the rookie oxen would help to train that oxen. So that ox would become in subjection to the whole idea of having a yoke and being directed and guided by the farmer, by the person leading the cart or whomever. Well, that's what you are. We're just instruments that need to be yoked to the master, to be used of him, meet for the master's use, that his purpose is accomplished in our lives. So he says to us, listen, come. Come unto me. Bring your burden and bring your cares unto me. Bring your needs unto me, he says. Come unto me. But we don't. We resist. He promises to give us rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take, he says. It's an acquisition. It's there. And then he says this. And learn of me. Learn. Listen, life's about learning. I've been preaching out of the book of Amos on Wednesday nights. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached there at Amos chapter number 3, where, and I think maybe I mentioned this last Sunday, so if I did, forgive me. But Amos says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And then you get to chapter 4, and Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. Listen, life, for you and I, is about preparing to meet God. We're all going to meet God one day. All of us. Life is about being conformed into the image of Christ. Life is about walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. Life is about coming unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Life is about bringing our labors and that which we're heavy laden with and bringing them to Him. And He promises to give us rest. You know, you and I know that doesn't mean when we come unto Jesus, all of our problems just vanish like the morning dew. But He does promise to give us rest. He does promise to give us peace. So the invitation's there. The command to take is there. Take. Take my yoke upon you. But that's a decision you and I have to make. He's not going to force that yoke upon us. And in order to do that, we've got to always remember we're spiritually ill-equipped and we're spiritual instruments. We're here to be used for the Master's use. And then lastly, it's the spiritual education. We learn. Life's about learning. Yesterday we helped Brother Jim Thompson put a new roof on his house. We're just about done. And, you know, I have to honestly say, when I was the third of three sons in my family. I was the youngest. Two older brothers, and I had a younger sister. I have a younger sister. And so, for me, growing up, my dad was pretty handy, actually. In fact, if you ever visit Aaron's house, he's got a black hutch there in his home. My dad built that hutch. He had worked as a carpenter in a carpenter shop. He was pretty handy at building and all of that kind of thing. He's pretty skilled at it. Although he was a jeweler by trade, he could do that kind of work. And my brothers worked with him when we did projects on the house. But you know what happens when you're like the third oldest? You're the one they say, go back and get the nails. Go back and get the hammer. Go back and get the saw. Go back and do this and go back and do that. And so I was really good at going back and getting the nails and going back and getting the saw and that kind of a thing. But you know what happens? You don't learn. And I didn't really learn much about that. Now, I've learned a lot since I've been the pastor of this church because there's a lot of guys in this church that know how to do that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we got up on that roof yesterday, and I'm not leading the project by any means. There's a lot of things I just didn't need to be told what to do anymore. I just know how to do those kinds of things. So you learn those things. Well, our Christianity is about learning things, but we're never going to learn anything unless we come to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we learn things. And he invites us to come. He invites us to take. And he invites us to learn. And we've got to realize if that's going to be the case, that we are spiritually illiterate. When we started work projects on this church, often people think, well, the pastor, he's kind of like the under-shepherd, so he's in charge. I always took those work projects, those carpenter projects, and I said either, usually it was either Ernie or it was Russ Cody, you're in charge, because I don't know what I'm doing. Because if I had been in charge, it would have been a disaster. Now, I was pretty good if we had to wreck something before it had to be built. I didn't need much instruction in that. Most boys, you don't need instruction on how to ruin something. But learning to build something, and learning to build a life, learning to build a Christian life, learning to build a life where you walk with the Lord, that you honor the Lord. Before you can ever learn that, you've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him every day, throughout the day. You've got to take what He's offering. You've got to acquire, make that acquisition. But to learn, you've got to realize, and I learned that right away, we all need to realize we're spiritually illiterate. Illiterate means more than just not being able to read. It means having a lack of wisdom or a lack of knowledge. And if you and I are really going to be all that we can be for the Lord, then we've got to understand that. The psalmist said, if you notice on your handout, he said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." You know, more times than not, you really learn that the Word of God is the Word of God. When you go through afflictions, when you go through tribulations, when you go through trials, and then you rest upon the promises of God. You come unto Him. You take what He has to offer. And then you begin to learn. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 said this, that I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, he said that like somewhere around 33 years after he had accepted Christ as his Savior. 30-some years later, he had said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That always impressed me when I read that. Paul was a very intelligent man. He was a man, when he got saved, that could speak a multitude of languages. He was a man that had been well-educated. He was a man that had had position in life and really an element of power even in life. It wasn't until 33 years later that he made that statement. He had so much to learn. You and I, we've got so much to learn. What was it? I was talking to someone the other day, one of the young girls, and they were going to school the next day. No, I think it was either Gwen or Virginia. And maybe it was both of them. And I said, oh, got to be back to school tomorrow. And I was kind of joking with them. You know, most kids hate school. Oh, they said, we love going to school. That's good. Always helps if you love something to learn something. But even if you don't like it, you need to learn it. There's a lot of things in life you're not going to like. You young people, there are a lot of things in life you're not going to like, but you'll learn a lot of lessons through them. A lot of lessons. And there'll be a lot of things for young and old alike that the Lord will put us through. And we might not really like the experience that we're going through, but the Lord wants to teach us something. He wants to show us something. He's trying to educate us. Remember what Oswald Chambers said? If you want to know how real you are, test yourself by these words. Come unto me. In every degree in which you are not real, you'll dispute rather than come. You'll quibble rather than come. You'll go through sorrow rather than come. You'll do anything rather than come. And when we do come, we'll finish up the last point on the bottom. We're spiritually illuminated. The psalmist said, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We're labored, we're heavy laden, we're burdened. When those things happen in life, it seems, like, at least for me, it seems as if darkness is closing in. But when we come unto the Lord, when we take what He has for us, when we take His yoke upon us, when we learn that He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." We don't need to go through life tossed to and fro, back and forth, up and down. There's a peace. There is a peace that passeth all understanding. There is a peace that the Lord desires for us to have. Yes, many of us, we've accepted Christ. We have the peace, the rest of conscience, but He wants us to have the rest of circumstance. And so, we challenge. We must challenge ourselves. You need to think about this. What are we yoking up with? Because what you yoke up with will determine whether or not you have the rest, the peace that Christ wants you to have. What are you yoking up with? We remember what Paul said. He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. He said, "Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers." He uses it as an example. He went on to say there this, he said, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" So if we want the peace of God, let's be careful we're not fellowshipping with unrighteousness when the Scriptures tell us we need to be yoked with righteousness. "What communion," he said, "has light with darkness?" So if we want the rest for our souls, let's make sure that we're yoked with the things of lightness and not the things of darkness. "What concord hath Christ with Belial?" That's the devil. Let's be sure we're not yoking up with things that more pleasing to the devil than they are to Jesus. "What part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Let's be sure we're not yoking up with infidels, with unbelievers, with Christ rejectors. Because we're going to rob ourselves from the peace of God. Be careful of that. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" He says, "For ye are the temple of God." What are you yoking up with? See, it's important that we understand that. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." But what are we yoking with? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Well, how can we if we're yoked up with unrighteousness, if we're yoked up with darkness, if we're yoked up with infidels, if we're yoked up with idolatry? We rob ourselves of the things of God. Wherefore, he said there in 2 Corinthians, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." See, separating from those things is for our benefit. What are you yoking up with? If you want to know how real you are, test yourselves by these words: "Come unto me." In every degree in which you're not real, you'll dispute rather than come. You'll quibble rather than come. You'll go through sorrow rather than come. You'll do anything rather than come. And so it's just not coming, but it's how you come. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.